Hi, everybody. Welcome to Who Cares About the Rock Hall, a podcast about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'm your host, Joe Quazala, the resident expert of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I hope you've enjoyed the last few episodes. We've done some of our favorites that we do annually, where we reveal who's newly eligible, we draft who we think is going to get in, then we reveal the ballot. That's fun. We even did an additional episode where I draw connections between the nominees. And so now, I'd like to take a little bit of a break. I'm a little bit under the weather, and also, as our listeners know, this show is exhausting. So I'd like to take a little bit of a break. We also have some artists on the ballot this year who we've covered in the past, so I think a walk down memory lane would serve us, could be fun. I think specifically about how Warren Zevon is on the ballot for the first time this year, and we happened to cover him back in our first year, back in August of 2018, we talked to our friend, comedian James Fritz, about Warren Zevon. And so I thought, you know what? Let's re-air that episode. Let me guss it up, too. Let me put in some song clips. Let me fix the audio. You know, back then, we didn't really know what we were doing. Audio maybe was a little all over the place. Production value wasn't as high. So I'm going to go through. We'll call it a remaster. And, you know, I would imagine some of you have heard this one. Maybe many of you haven't since it's so long ago. So don't get mad at us for what we said in 2018. The show is different, but I think still worth a listen. So I hope you enjoy it. And I guess before that, since we're just re-airing one and not doing a new Zevon episode, my prediction for the record, I think Zevon could get in this year. I think it is a distinct possibility. This is a very competitive year. I think he won't. I think he will just be on the outside of the six or seven nominees that I think will eventually be inducted. I liken him to like a Todd Rundgren. You know, maybe it'll take him 3 or so ballots to eventually get in. The lane is wide open, though. And I've said it before, do not bet against classic rock. And he's really the only thing that resembles classic rock on this ballot. So maybe I'm being foolish. Maybe he will walk right in. Who's to say? But it's a competitive year and we can't be surprised if he gets in. We can't be surprised if he doesn't. Kind of a coin flip. I'd put my money on him not getting in, but I guess time will tell. Until then, enjoy our classic episode of Who Cares About the Rock Hall, Warren Zevon edition.
KCSN is still my go-to, though, because they're the only place where you're going to hear an artist like Warren Zevon.
Yes, for
sure. You're not going to hear any other... You're not going to hear Warren Zevon pretty much anywhere else outside of Werewolves of London on, like, maybe KLOS.
It's insane. Especially in California. It's
right?
Insane. He's ignored in his own backyard, man.
Goddamn. Well, let's talk about
Warren Zevon. Can I begin? Because I know the...
Step on our guest toes?
I should just begin by saying, because I don't know almost anything about Warren Zevon.
Okay.
And that's why it's like usually the person who knows the least should just say what they know, and sure, then we can go from there.
What do you know?
So much to know. Werewolves of London.
Yeah.
I know that he plays the piano.
Do you know Lawyers? You've heard Lawyers, Guns, and Money. You've had to have heard.
I mean, I probably have. I couldn't sing it to you. Mm-hmm. For
We'll play it a little bit later.
Oh, I'm excited. We were playing a little bit of a song that I didn't know when I was doing the sound check, and I thought,
excited,
I am going to like this music, because this is music that I didn't know before, that I never was like, yeah, you know who I got to search out is Warren Zevon.
Yeah.
And I never, you know.
And you're a funny person. Funny people like Zevon. Comedians like Warren Zevon.
He's got some
witty
cheekiness.
Lyricist.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's no... Mm-hmm. Would you put him on a Randy Newman level?
Yeah, sometimes.
I would. But his lyrics are more overly comical than Zevon. Zevon's more like a sly, occasionally sarcastic.
Yes, more death-obsessed.
Mm-hmm. So he's like...
Sings a lot about like revolutionaries and coups.
Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, and did he co-write some songs with straight-up like novelists? I feel like
a couple times.
Straight-up novelists?
Like Carl Heisen. Am I saying that right?
Yeah,
and,
This is a weird one. I feel like there was some
Tuesday with Maury.
Yeah, Mitch Albom.
He did a hockey song with him.
What's a Canadian farm boy to do?
It's somebody.
What else can a farm boy from Canada do?
It's a song about a hockey player who was a goon. David Letterman sings like sings like one of the backup vocals on it. It's weird.
Whoa.
Yeah. So he has like connections to literary people of literary world. And what's your
a lot of strange connections? Like the whole he used to take like play like he used to live near
Stravinsky
when he was a kid and
he used to music lessons
and would take piano lessons from Igor
from
Stravinsky.
Igor Stravinsky.
And his dad was like this like mobster guy. It was like Bugsy Siegel's like one of his guys.
I am.
It's a yeah.
I mean, I
he
am,
comes from an interesting background.
Oh, I'm intrigued.
I can't believe there hasn't been like a really good feature doc about him yet.
Yeah,
because it's such an interesting life.
Yeah,
and then his death is so compelling.
Mm-hmm. Wait,
he like
what's
really
his
went
death?
Out.
And they really documented his death.
Wait, okay. So roll it back and catch me up. All right, guys, we've really
sure.
I've heard a lot.
He lived.
He
died.
He lived. He died.
He ate a
in the middle, he ate a sandwich and made a
he enjoyed it
and made a record with David Letterman. I mean, I'm like, what is even happening?
Well, he was Letterman's go-to guy.
He
every
was,
time Paul was gone.
Because he looks, he had the Paul Schaefer glasses. I'm looking, at a,
all the glasses.
I'm looking at a picture of him. I just looked at a picture of him because I was like, is he hot?
He had a look.
Yeah. But he filled in for Paul Schaefer.
But he was like running buddies with like Jackson Browne and shit. So he always felt second banana in LA.
I mean,
I'm
he's
sure.
certainly second banana looks wise to Jackson
and
Browne.
And like he was hair.
And that's
he was
okay.
obsessed with. People with good hair, which is why the live versions of Werewolves of London are always great, because he's always like making fun of Jackson Browne's hair.
Screaming his hair was perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, and, his hair was perfect.
Yeah.
I saw Jackson Browne walking slow down the avenue. You know, his heart is perfect. And I saw werewolves drinking a Perrier at Trader Vic's. And his hair was perfect.
Ah.
But Jackson Browne.
Werewolves of London is about like fucking pretty boys in LA.
That's I'm like he looks kind of like Phil Spector though. I'm like I wanted to make sure I'm not crazy.
A certain angle, certain angle.
I wanted to make sure I wasn't crazy.
I think I that's racist. But okay.
yeah, but Warren Zevon.
But he was obsessed with like his hair. Like there's,
yeah.
It's like Gary Shandling's ass was to him. That's what Warren Zevon's hair was to.
Yeah, there's a lot. So when Warren Zevon, he like never went to the doctor, and then found out he had mesothelioma.
From asbestos?
Yeah.
And, I know that from commercials.
Yeah.
Yes.
He also smoked a lot.
Yeah, he was a drug addict and
he was a big drinker.
Alcoholic, probably more
but
so.
He kicked it pretty early, actually, because he was that bad. He was a wild man.
But when he found out he was going to die, he let a camera crew in for the recording of his last album.
Yeah, and there's a really good VH1... like hour-long thing about it.
Yeah. And
what was it called?
The Wind was the album.
And it's a great album.
It is really, really good.
It's amazing he went out. His last three, or two of the last three, I'd say, were very strong. He had a good output.
And that
towards
last album, like, won 2 Grammys posthumously.
Yeah.
And it had a lot of guest performers.
How old was he when he died?
56, I think.
That's so young.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he went to the doctor, and they were like, you have 3 months to live. And he ended up living long enough to, like, cut this album, see it come out, do the last Letterman thing, where Letterman had him on as the only guest for the whole night, which was really great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he sang, I'll sleep when I'm dead. Start acting stupid, I'll shoot
myself, then I'll sleep when I'm dead. Yeah, and then the very last song was... Rolling the Headless Thompson Gunner, because that was Letterman's favorite.
Right. Rolling the Headless Thompson Gunner.
Make a documentary about this. I have incited many documentaries on this podcast and just throw this on the list. Like, again, I am like, I think the Leslie Gore documentary needs to get made first. What's the other one that I've been... what's the other one that we talked about? Leslie's the big one.
That's the one.
Did somebody else need to get one? Well, they're not as important as the Leslie one. I want the Leslie one out there. That one's number one, and I'm slotting Warren Zevon in at number two. For documentaries, Rock Docs, I'd like to see get made.
And you could get a lot of people to be on camera for that. It's pretty nuts. His reach
is crazy.
The people who've played on his albums, Jackson Brown produced a lot of his albums.
Linda Ronstadt had hits with like three of his songs.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Like all the Eagles are all on Eagles. A bunch of his albums.
It's the only good shit the Eagles ever did were backup on his songs. So yeah.
The Eagles' best career is backup because they did backup for Randy Newman, uh-huh. backup for Linda Ronstadt, backup for Bob Seger.
Backup vocals on the French Inhaler are, you get into the Hall of Fame just for that.
Now, is Linda Ronstadt in the HOF?
She is.
And I was watching her induction today because I wanted to see Wally Wachtel. Who was...
What is that name?
Is that pronounced correctly? Wachtel? Tell me. Do you know who I'm talking about?
No.
Okay, well, so...
The name sounds familiar, but...
Zevon's closest collaborator was this session guitar
was
player.
Was also Fozzy's catchphrase.
He kind of looks like a Muppet. But yes, his name's Waka Waka. Anyway, he wrote Werewolves of London and a bunch of songs with Warren Zevon and was on nearly every album. Really good session guitarist. And I didn't know what he looked like, so I looked him up and I thought, oh, this guy has played at the induction ceremonies before. Like,
really?
And
just a ringer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he's just like an incredible session musician. And he was playing with Cat Stevens and he was playing with Linda Ronstadt specifically, which made sense with the Zevon connection.
A Waddy Wachtel.
Okay, there it is.
Waddy Wachtel.
Waddy Wachtel.
He is a wild-looking motherfucker.
So Warren Zevon, yes, right? He looks like a session musician.
He looks like a Muppet, like in the Muppet Band.
So Warren Zevon became eligible to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1994, a long time ago. So
yeah, I'm shocked he's not in, to be honest.
It's 25 years after the first released recording.
Wait, I'm sorry, when was he eligible?
94.
Because he had that one really early album in like the late 60s that like nobody bought.
Yeah.
And then like...
I think 69.
What's considered his real first album is the self-titled, which...
Did he wrong someone?
Like 6, 7 years
ago. I mean...
I don't think so.
That's the thing, he has so many friends in the industry, but he was also...
People just didn't know how to market him, kind of. Because, you know, he's kind of had a little Tin Pan Alley singer-songwriter, mm-hmm. But he's also very like modern in like terms of like lyrically and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, he name checks Echo Park and he did it before it was cool. He does in a song called Carmelita. I'm here in Echo Park.
Carmelita, hold me tighter. It's the best LA songs of anyone who ever lived. I don't know why.
I'm so interested now. Gosh, I'm love. I
hate in this town you go and on the jukebox it's Chili Peppers and Doors and you're like, you fucking assholes had the best singer songwriter of the last 100 years and you don't even give a shit.
Okay.
Like if Desperados Under the Eaves was on in a bar, you'd put that on all the time at dusk or dawn or either one.
And you don't mean Desperado the Eagles song.
That's
no,
what I was like, Desperados what under does the you mean just feel like Desperados Under the Eaves. Heaven help the one who needs. Oh, Desperados Under the Eaves?
You know that one?
That's the one. That's the other
one
I know.
That'd be insane if that's the one you knew.
That's the other one I know, definitely. For sure. Wow. I love that one. Desperado.
It's a poem.
You better be under the eaves.
So the Rock Hall does not publicize or make public the criteria that they use to... Right. Determine someone's worthy to be inducted into the Rock Hall. But as you may already know, I have devised my own set of criteria so that we can try to get a sense of someone's potential as an inductee. So we're going to go through the categories and talk about Warren.
Real quick. So how many...
Yes.
Has he been nommed?
He has never been nominated.
That's nuts!
No
that
noms?
That's right.
Really?
Never been nominated.
Non-nom.
That's crazy, man.
He's a non-nom.
How long have Jackson Brown and the Eagles been in there?
So the Eagles...
They've been in there forever.
Eagles are FYE, as we say. Yeah. So they got in immediately in 98, I believe.
And then Don Henley.
Jackson Brown got
behind
in...
behind it somehow.
Jackson Brown got in 2004. So he wasn't FYE, but he was like, it was close, you know.
When did the Ronstadt?
Ronstadt got in 2014.
Yeah, I thought, not that long, I, thought I remembered hers
recent,
being recent.
Yeah. And she did not, sidebar, she did not perform. She does not perform at all anymore. She has Parkinson's.
Right. Oh.
But she also wasn't there. In addition to not performing, I think maybe because she was just like, I'm not going to perform. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
The tribute performance for Linda Ronstadt is incredible.
Who does it?
It is Carrie Underwood, Sheryl Crow, Stevie
you
Nicks.
You know how I feel about Sheryl Crow.
Emmylou Harris.
And Stevie Nicks and Emmylou Harris. And
nuts.
I don't think Carrie Underwood Emily sucks Lou. At all.
Carrie Underwood is great and sings the... And Bonnie Raitt, excuse me.
Emmylou is not
And Bonnie Raitt.
Emmylou's not in, right?
Emmylou is not in.
She's
wait, and Bonnie
probably.
Is Bonnie in?
Bonnie is in, yeah.
Great. My mom loves Bonnie. My mom and I saw Emmylou Harris
Bonnie
Raitt.
I love Bonnie, but what the hell?
Well, Bonnie had a late resurgence in the late
80s.
Yeah,
she did get something to talk about.
There you go.
Let's go through these criteria.
Yes, that's right.
All right. Critical acclaim. Warren Zevon was like a critical darling.
5 out of 5.
The critics loved Warren Zevon.
Rolling Stone, like in 1980, called him like one of the four best
songwriters
of all time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great in spades. Yeah. Classic albums. I think
all of the songs.
Let's say
in
Excitable
his top.
Boy.
Yeah, I think you could say Excitable Boy is a classic album.
It sold a lot.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. It was platinum. That's probably the only one that I would.
The album before that.
The self-titled?
Yes.
Yeah, that one's pretty close. I don't know if I would put it in the... It's definitely a great album. Most of his output was really, really good, but Excitable Boy is maybe the one.
He had a couple of those weird, like, 80s production, mm-hmm. you
in
know.
In his Spotify top 10, almost everything is from that album with the Excitable Boy.
Yeah, right.
His top 10...
So let's talk...
7 of the top 10 are...
Let's talk iconic songs, then, mm-hmm. the next category.
Well, let's talk about
so, it. So, obviously, Werewolves of London is an iconic song.
Werewolves of London.
It's the most, I think, by a mile.
But
let's talk about...
literally everyone in the world has heard that.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about maybe some recognizable songs after that. The first one I would say is Laura's Guns and Money.
Yeah, it's on karaoke things. That's how I gauge a lot of this stuff.
Oh, that's true. That's a good gauge.
Like, they'll have two Zevon songs. If they have two Zevon songs...
This will definitely be number two. Yeah.
Guns, Germs, and Steel.
Do you recognize it?
No.
Do you want me to jump up further?
You want me to sing it?
Desperado.
The waitress.
I mean.
Gotta protect your fences.
I woke up with a waitress the way I always do. How was I to know
she was with the Russians too?
Boom. You're in.
It's great. I'm gonna jump
a little
bit.
That's an opening. That's an opening.
Show me the chorus. Show my ears the chorus.
That's your catchphrase.
Yeah.
Show my ears the chorus.
Show my ears the chorus, baby.
That was pretty much it.
Listen, I'm telling you right now, I've never heard this song, but it kicks and I like it. So thank you for that.
After that, but there's
there
kind of...
I'm an innocent bystander.
But there weren't really any pianos. I wasn't hearing a ton of piano in that. Was I not listening hard?
Maybe you weren't listening hard, but it's in there. It's kind of guitar driven, though.
Okay. It was a guitar.
After Laura's Guns and Money, I think there is a drop in terms of recognizability, but I think songs that are worth mentioning, Excitable Boy, which is the title track of that album,
which is
a very fucked up song about
a
prom night where the Excitable Boy...
It's a song about toxic masculinity.
Yeah. Oh, wait, I might know this song. Play the song.
And how, like, oh, he's just an excitable boy. How men, because of toxic masculinity, get away with blah, blah, blah. I'm just trying to sell
murder.
You on the
actual
song.
Murder. Yep. Yeah. It's working.
I'm playing it. Let me.
Like, this is a great example of his sense of humor. He's just an excitable boy. Like.
Yeah, I think I've heard this song on KCSN.
They do like to play it.
And I was like, what the F is this? But yes, I have definitely heard this song. I have definitely heard this song. Because I remember hearing it being like, whoa, timely.
Mm-hmm.
And it was written in the damn 70s.
It's a brilliant song.
This song
like
is awesome.
He's just an excitable boy.
Yeah, this song is awesome.
And
he
straight
song.
Up murders.
And that's like his, I think this is the best example of his wit. Mm-hmm. Of like just that really dry, really dark.
Builds a
Death
cage
obsessed.
With her bones.
Well, just he's like just...
After he gets out.
Yeah, right?
He
digs her out of her grave and builds a cage with her bones.
And he just sings
he's
it so...
He's just an excitable boy.
And then the backup, doo-doo-wa.
Does he?
Sorry about that.
Wait till he does go to jail in it.
Yes, and
he
then
goes
he gets
away for
out.
10 years and gets out, digs her up, builds a cage of her bones.
And then another song.
Does he himself live in the cage of her bones?
I'm not.
Seems weird
I'm not
that
sure
he would
about.
Build a cage.
That's really. I mean, that's for you to like.
Yeah,
make
interpret.
The story.
Okay.
Like make the characters last longer. That's a great thing about art.
So, oh boy.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Linda Ronstadt had a big hit with the song Poor, Poor, Pitiful Me. Which was a Zevon song. We'll hear.
Also, I believe I don't know how true this is, but I think this is also a song about Jackson Brown and how how much pussy he got.
But how sad his song still works.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is great.
So he was making fun of Jackson Brown because a lot of Jackson Brown songs are really sad, and he's kind of like, "Fuck you, prettiest man on earth." Singing like, my poor life.
Also, a thing that this is reminding me is that I know almost nothing about Linda Ronstadt other than her name.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
She's got one of the best voices.
She's incredible.
Well, we'll get into that at some point, and I look forward to it. He has a song called My Shit's Fucked Up.
Yeah.
That's in his top 10.
Yeah, that's on his album he wrote called... that's a really good late period album, his third to last. It's called Life Will Kill Ya.
Oh, man.
And it's very death obsessed. And like, he put that album out, and I believe like 2 years later is when he got the diagnosis.
Yeah.
My shit's fucked up. It has to happen to the best of
us. Wow. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It looks like it.
I would also put Carmelita in terms of influence up there. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like a radio hit, but like Ronstadt had a hit with it as a cover.
Yeah.
Dwight Yoakam's covered it.
Talking about this on another episode.
Talk about range for a cover. Okay, you got Ronstadt, Dwight Yoakam, and Gigi Allen.
Whoa.
This is a beautiful song about heroin addiction.
Oh.
So Zevon is similar to Nilsson in that way of what we were mm-hmm. talking about.
Yeah.
Wrote a lot of songs that you know from other artists.
Oh, and he said Echo Park. I heard it.
Carmelita, hold me tighter. I think I'm sinking.
Also, this has a lot of, you know, this has that country kind of...
You could hear the Eagles covering this, and it would, it would fit. And then from his kind of later period work, From the Wind, Keep Me in Your Heart is,
song.
One of the most devastating songs a man who's just saying, I'm dying, please remember me.
Shadows are falling, and I'm running out of breath. Keep me in your heart for a while.
When did he write this song?
A year before he died.
What did he know
2000?
He was dying when he wrote it?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it was all a part of,
And this song is called Please Remember Me?
It's called Keep Me in Your Heart.
When you get up in the morning. The song is called
Keep Me in Your Heart. Hey, I'm dying over here. Give your boy a thought.
Yeah. This song is called Hashtag Never Forget.
Yeah.
This is a post 9/11 world. It was written in. Oh my gosh.
I'm tied to you like the buttons on your Blouse is one of my favorite.
That's really and I think that was nominated for Song of the Year.
It's
at the Grammys.
That song.
Did they play it during the memorials? That'd be a good thing to do. That would have been a good move. But I bet the Grammys fucked it up.
So when it comes to that category, though, you know, it's like Zevon. I think that's maybe the category that hurts Zevon the most is that he's got like one big song that everybody else knows.
One massive radio hit.
And then if you're
a lot of mid.
Mm-hmm, and if you're in the know, you know, like, because some of these songs you're going to have to, you have to be kind of digging for them. You have to kind of be.
I've always wondered why they don't get more play.
Because, yeah, they're, I mean.
Like, Side of a Boy is a catchy friggin' tune.
I have a theory.
And everyone from that. Because it says the word rape.
Yeah, maybe.
Could be. I don't know.
You heard what the kids are playing on the radio now? They're all, I want to fuck you.
Yeah, they're all like, and I don't even love you, but I still want to fuck you.
Next category is commercial success. I mean, Excitable Boy went platinum, and he has a few other albums that went gold. He wasn't breaking the bank. It wasn't like he was selling, you know, 20 million. But
yeah.
It's not like it's a big star career where they didn't sell any albums, but it was
right.
It's kind of middle of the road.
He sold a lot though. He had a nice little run, self-titled. But yeah, then he started just getting dropped by. He got dropped by like
it's
three
very,
labels in the '80s.
It's very funny to say big star and mean little star.
Like to say he had a big star career,
meaning he didn't sell a lot.
Yeah, right.
That's pretty funny to me.
Longevity.
I mean, yeah. he's not still a...
Well, I mean, I think the fact that he released
I know. It was an uncouth joke.
The height of his career was like, you know, mid to late 70s. And he kind of dropped off in the 80s, but I think you do have to tip the hat to the fact that that last album, The Wind, was so affecting and so well made.
And it sold pretty good. Mm-hmm. I think I read it made it to like 14.
It was number 12.
That's crazy.
It made it to number 12, which is pretty nuts.
That's crazy.
And it was still before our current era where if like an old artist puts out an album, it goes to number one.
Right.
Because this was 2003. So that's
I think he had like three greatest hits packages. I'm sure those sold okay.
Yeah, first one went gold. The first greatest hits album, A Quiet Normal Life, the best of Warren Zevon.
And so he was kind of a rapscallion about town, kind of like
that's not a terrible description. Yeah,
he was
a lovable one.
Yeah. Oh no, I think that's implied in the term rapscallion.
His ex-wife wrote his biography, which is great.
Wait, what?
Yeah, and he famously wanted her to like not soften him at all, and like it is warts and all. Like,
yeah,
it's,
that's great.
It's honest.
I think that's
but
really
you can really feel the love that they had. He was a wild man.
Well, and it does. It's kind of like reminds me of the like Nelson type stuff where it's just like rapscallion about town, running with the young vampires
in
Hollywood,
drinking heavily,
and
I've always saw
you know
him
being
more
jealous
as, like,
of people
man.
With better hair.
Yes. I'm sure he didn't do as well as the Eagles and Jackson Browne, so there was probably a little darkness in his, like, drink. He was, like, the nerd in the corner who was the true genius.
Right? Wow, why did you bring this guy in, James?
I don't know. I don't fucking know.
Next category is influence and innovation. I don't know that he's... I would say maybe the darkness of his lyrics is a little innovative, but definitely influence. I mean, I think he influenced his peers. I mean, just by the fact that how many people were covering his songs.
I think he had a lot of crossover influence, too. Like I mentioned, like Dwight Yoakam's covered him. Mm-hmm. Jason Isbell's covered him. Drive-By Truckers do a great cover of that evil song making fun of the South. What's it?
It's Could it
the
be
only
all
song
of
that has Bursalosis in it.
What's Bursalosis? Is that a swear? Is that a swear that
no,
we don't know?
No, it's a disease cows get.
Why do you know that? Because you're from Kentucky? That's not a thing that people in Kentucky just know.
Play it all night long?
Play it all night long. Thank you. Jesus Christ. Incredible. And Drive-By Truckers do a really fun shit-kicking version of that. It's a dark song just making fun of people who listen to Skynyrd.
Mm-hmm. That's
it's pretty
incredible.
Great.
I love
Ooh.
It. Final category, does my mom know this person?
Skynyrd's in,
although it took them a long time.
Okay.
Weirdly.
Well, The Hall doesn't like Southern rock as much, does it?
It depends. Like, Allman Brothers Southern rock, yes.
Right, but not Molly Hatch.
Yes, correct. Right, yeah. All right, does my mom know who Warren Zevon is? Yes, she does.
My mom does too, for sure.
Shirley Fritz, in no way.
No way.
No,
Shirley
no
Fritz.
Way. That's a firm
yeah.
no.
Yeah, my mom definitely and for sure knows him.
All right, so I think it's time for a verdict.
Okay. Oh, I'll
Kristen
go first.
Will start.
Because I know
so
the least about this artist,
should
and I'm
he,
very influenced.
Should he, will he, and when?
All right, should he? I'm going to say, hell yeah, dude. Even though we don't need another SWM in the hall, I'm here for Zevon. I did hear he was a Russian Jew from somebody in another microphone. Will he? I think he will, just based on the company that he kept. But, you know, it's probably going to be, I'm going to say we're looking at like 10 years. And I think it's going to happen after they put out the doc, the rock doc about mm-hmm. him. Called
Excitable Boy.
Excitable Boy.
Ooh. Or Poor Pitiful Me is probably a little bit
yeah.
better.
Or The Wind, just about his death. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
But that already kind of exists. That yeah. was like a VH1 special.
Oh, okay. Well, they'll borrow heavily from that. So I think it'll be after that in the next 10 years when everything, and it'll be streamable on Netflix. That's why.
Okay, great.
Like, that's why it'll get into the public consciousness.
Very good.
What do you think?
Me?
Yeah.
First of all, I think Los Angeles, get your head out of your house. S, we need a
also get your head out of your house.
We need a Warren Zevon statue,
at least a mural.
I'm thinking on like Gower Avenue because he sings about Gower,
mm-hmm. or in Echo Park because he sings about Echo Park.
No, fuck Echo Park.
Made
it's
out of
hip.
Heroin.
He needs to be in a dirtier place. Like Echo Park's too cool.
But
now.
Carmelita is a street, right?
Yeah. Is
yeah,
it? And,
yeah, I'm pretty sure. So that's maybe a little on the nose, but also it's
brucellosis.
So. Yeah, brucellosis.
The word I was.
Yeah,
thinking. The cattle all have brucellosis. Just
damn.
Put that in a song,
right?
That's not easy to do. What was the question?
So should he?
Will he
be inducted?
When?
Of course he should.
When?
What are you talking about?
Will he though?
Probably not, because the hall's got its head up its butt.
Damn.
You don't think he ever will?
Probably not. I mean, he's dead. What are they going to get out of him? They're not.
Wow.
He's not going to come and play.
Don't
I mean,
you think that Jackson Brown is going to stand up one day in that in the little meeting room?
Well, Jackson Brown doesn't
in front
doesn't
of the hoagie.
He doesn't go.
Well,
to those
maybe
meetings.
He'll send someone
he's
from a music
no
critic.
I think what they get out of it is the people who would show up and perform.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, do it before they're all dead.
Right.
Get Ronstadt to sing. Jackson Brown.
Stevie Nicks
loves him.
Henley.
He lived with Mick Fleetwood and Stevie for a while, I think.
He lived with Buckingham and Nicks.
Or Buckingham and Nicks.
Yeah. And then McVie and Fleetwood, both the Fleetwood and the Mac, play on Werewolves of London.
Right.
They are doing the rhythm section, the bass and the drums of Werewolves of London.
You could get Letterman to show up.
You could.
You could get Bob Thornton. Boom.
Yeah. So Letterman inducted Pearl Jam
right.
2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And he straight up said in his speech, hey, why isn't Warren Zevon
he
in
did?
Here? Yes. He's like, can
my
we
man.
Get my friend Warren Zevon in here? Doesn't that make sense? And everybody applauded.
And if you want more representation, we could get Meryl Marco to induct him. Because they were mm-hmm. buddies. She
yeah.
loved
oh.
Zevon. I remember she posted something on the anniversary of his death this year of like a photo of them. It was really sweet.
So is your verdict that no, he won't get in though?
I think he will eventually.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's kind of crazy he hasn't.
I think so too.
I mean, when you look at like the era of like the stuff they like, that
it
could
fits,
give them more cred.
Right in the wheelhouse.
It seems right in the wheelhouse. I can't believe he hasn't been nominated.
It's weird. So what if you had to say when he gets inducted?
I don't know. I felt like there was kind of like a hip resurgence of his music like a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. It felt like a lot of hipsters and stuff were like rediscovering him. I don't know why.
I mean,
but I would like hear him in like hip bars and stuff a mm-hmm. little more. I feel like that's passed, so I think it could be like a decade.
Okay.
I mean, he's a singer-songwriter. They don't really, and he's dead. What are
maybe
they?
Another person will do a cover.
That might be what it takes.
It could, yeah.
Is it going to be, there's going to be a covers album, actually, to coincide
like
with to coincide with the documentary, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
then
there have been some covers
be
albums.
Like, oh, really?
For Zevon.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy. Okay.
Like, right
well,
after
if none of this did it, then I don't know what will.
Like, it's deceptive. What I like about his music is, like, there's a lot going on, because he can play the hell out of a piano, but he's not really his songs are still rather, they're kind of simple. Like, there's weird, like, sevenths and stuff like that, but mm-hmm. they're easily coverable.
Yeah, and that's the hallmark of great songwriting, I think.
Joe,
yes.
What do you think?
I think he should. I think he will. I kind of thought he was going to get nominated and inducted last year.
Because that was off a weak-ass year.
It was a weak-ass year. Also, off of Letterman.
Don't I know it.
I heard, girl.
Letterman in front of everyone saying, induct Warren Zevon. I kind of thought that was going to get him on the ballot.
Wait, when did he say that?
So when he inducted Pearl Jam in 2017.
No, we got to get the blues in
That
here.
Was like
during his
like,
speech.
Flint still doesn't have clean water. Like, finish up the speech, he said, it was, induct I Warren mean, Zevon.
Yeah, it was very much casually
to
like...
play him off, he ripped the mic back.
But in the middle of the speech, he just went, why isn't my friend Warren Zevon in here? Shouldn't he be? That makes sense. And everyone applauded.
It is crazy.
So I thought he was going to be on the ballot.
Is Schaefer involved
last year.
In the non? Yes. Okay, that's
he
weird. Is.
So that's the thing. That's who could stand up for
Zevon
him.
Zevon would straight up lead Schaefer's band when Paul was doing stuff. He would come in and be the band leader when Paul was gone.
Yes. So
that is weird.
What's weird? Well, here's what I think. I think if Warren Zevon showed up on the ballot, he would get in immediately. I think he's a great FYN contender.
You think people just forget about him?
I think just other artists are taking priority.
You think people aren't keeping him in their heart?
We got to get Dire Straits in there, man. We really got to. I do like Dire Straits.
Like
and
Dire
the
Straits
package
too.
Sold me, and I definitely was like noodle around on the guitar Knopfler. I like it.
Come on, Tunnel of Love, shreds.
I like Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, Romeo and
Skate Juliet. Away.
I think it could happen for Zevon in the next 5 years, but I'm going to conservatively guess 5 to 10.
Okay, when was his...
My man.
I think that's what's going to happen. Now, let's say...
When is his death? Maybe if we get a good anniversary.
It was 2003 that he died,
right? Or 2002 or 2003, yeah.
It was 2003 that The Wind came out. Okay.
So in 5 years, that'll be...
We've got
that'll be 20th
a 20th
anniversary
of his death.
That could be the moment.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's good thinking. All right, so let's say he's inducted. Who's inducting him? We've already mentioned a lot of
it's
people.
It's going to be Letterman for sure.
Or Jackson Brown.
Or Jackson
Brown. I mean, Jackson Brown and him were so tight.
Yeah.
Or his ex-wife.
That would be...
Would not be his, would be not be his ex-wife.
Or...
It could be
wait,
so
I've
many
got a
people.
Suggestion.
Yeah.
How about me? I need the pub.
I just spit out my
is that short
water.
For publicity?
Mm-hmm.
I need the pub.
So I think we've already thrown out a lot of artists like
Has
James.
Has anyone else suggested themselves?
Yes,
on the show?
I think they have. Or we've at least suggested the person.
Yeah, normally they wait for us to suggest them. But
there's so many both musicians and like comedians and actors and I think there's a lot of contenders.
You know who would do it is fucking like Jimmy Fallon in character as Warren Zevon.
No.
Could you stop?
I'm no sorry.
Could you stop?
I'm just telling you right now that is not out of the realm of possibility.
I don't want Fallon near my Zevon.
Okay, they do a tribute performance. They'll play three songs. What three songs do they play?
Guns, Germs, and Steel.
Oh my God. Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves.
Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves, and then Typical Girls. There you go.
So I think they're obviously going to do. I was going to do Werewolves of London.
I'd say, Yeah.
I think.
You got it.
What's interesting. Sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes.
His daddy doesn't have a say in not doing that one.
And then I don't think you do the big three from Excitable Boy. I don't think you do all the same from the same album. Just, I think you do Werewolves. I think you do Keep Me in Your Heart.
I think I'll Sleep When I'm Dead is a great jam.
That is a good
just,
one.
It really opens up and you could do a lot of solos there. It's easy.
Mm-hmm.
And you get everybody back on stage, right? Isn't that the thing you want? Is like everybody's on stage. Everybody's jamming. And I'll Sleep When I'm Dead. What a fun name.
And it's like, it's kind of cheeky and like,
that's fun.
It fits his thing. That's pretty good. I would maybe
you
substitute.
Got Schaefer up there on the keys, pounding away.
I'd throw Carmelita in there, maybe substituting one of
those.
Yeah,
you could get like the harmonizing. There's so many beautiful ballads.
Just to have like a ballad and then like an up tempo one and then,
I really like, I'm really partial to Muhammad's Radio. I love that song.
But I think, and also, you know, with tribute performances, often there's a lot of medleys. I think you could put together.
You could do a medley.
Oh, yeah,
medley.
They do like a.
They sometimes do that,
like a Simone, like a Nina.
I say, poor, poor, pitiful me. You start with that.
Oh, yeah. That's
that opening
great.
Guitar riff.
Start with
beat.
That. You start with that. You put Werewolves of London in there. You play half of it. You get up to His Hair Was Perfect. Then you switch
into Lawyers, Guns, and Money.
Then you go into Lawrence, Guns, and Money. And then you end on whatever that is.
I Love L.A.
We love it. Great. What? I love it. I'm here for it. Yes.
It sounds like a good set. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Okay, wow, that was our remastered 2018 episode all about Warren Zevon with our buddy James Fritz. Hope you enjoyed it. Until next time, you know the drill. If you want to follow us on Twitter and Instagram, RockCallPod is the handle. RockCallPod@gmail.com is the email. Kristen doesn't read those unless you put her name in there. Then I will be obligated to forward it, and then she'll have to read it, and that's her curse, and that's the agreement we've made. Thank you to Yusu Kim for the music. Thank you to Mike Lloyd for the logo, and thank you to Pantheon Podcast for hosting us. This is Joe Solo signing off. Who cares about the Rock Hall? I hope after all this, you still do. Bye-bye.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.